This is Danny from the Truth Seekers podcast at www.truthseekerscast.com, and you are listening to Strangely Literal with my BTF, Tabs. I love you, my BTF.
Dislike that, Anya. She's newly human and strangely literal.
What? I don't say that. No one says that. No one talks that way.
Strangely Literal, the podcast.
So here's the part where you make a choice.
Jeffrey Book was just telling us funny stories about his life at the monastery.
This goes beyond anything I've ever done. It's a total loss of control. And not in a nice, wholesome, my girlfriend has pierced tongue kind of way.
I think you've already figured out I'm not the poster boy for normal.
I've given some thought to moving off the edge. Not an ideal location.
Hi, everybody. This is Tabs welcoming you to another episode of Strangely Literal, the podcast where we have fanfic from all over the Whedonverse, including Dr. Horrible. Yes, I said it. We have another Dr. Horrible story. This one is a little funnier than the last one. The last one was very sad and depressing. But this one is called Duct Tape, and I'm very excited about it. But before we get into that, I wanted to play a promo for Mike's Hot Dish. If you like music of all kinds of genres, you probably enjoy Mike's Hot Dish. So take it away, promo.
Mike's Hot Dish. Rock. And I gotta get it off my chest. Want the biggest, the best, better than the rest.
Never know what Mike will cook up in his next pot of Mike's Hot Dish. Come and see what's on the menu at the next generation of radio.com. Next generation of radio.com.
Like I said, there's lots of great podcasts out there. And if you're looking for a place to find the cream of the crop or some of the best out there, check out farpointmedia.net. They are lovely, our lovely media people. I don't know how to describe them. They're like our, you know, they're like our, I was going to say they're like our Fox channel, but you know, you get what I mean. They're not mean like Fox though. They're better than Fox. So. Yeah. And Brian Brown from Buffy Between the Lines is part of Farpoint Media. So that's why I say that. And thanks always. I forget to thank all of the editors that we have working on Strangely Literal. They're really the reason that you're getting this podcast more often. So I want to thank everybody who volunteers from Between the Lines Studios to edit the podcast. You know, John and Jason, and I think Malia has done some editing, and Crystal, and all of you people rock. You just are very awesome. And so please leave a comment if you've been enjoying the podcast and you're so glad that I have editors to help me out, and tell them how much you love them. And don't forget to leave a review of us on iTunes. Yay! I love Strangely Literal. I miss doing it when I was on hiatus for so long. It's, you know, it's the first podcast I ever did, and I love that it's still going. I love that we're close to, well, not close, we're close. We're in the 60s. we're close to being 100 episodes, and I want to do something special for the 100th episode. So if you have an idea of what I should do for my 100th episode, let me know. Email me at supcomtabz@gmail.com. Tell me what I should do for my 100th episode. Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. Our lovely fanfic is read by Nutchess. I think I said it right this time. I also call her Nutty. She's fantastic, and she has a dragon. So, yeah, not able to top that, are you? I don't think so. So take it away, Nutty.
Time for some thrilling heroics.
Here's how it is.
You get killed, I'm telling.
Okay, that's new.
I think it hurts to die. And I don't want to die. Captain Hammer gnawed on the back of his black glove, tears leaking down his cheeks. He wiped them away. This therapist would help him, surely. Someone had to make the fear go away. A golden eagle perched behind them, its predatory eyes seeming to bore into the captain's very soul. He'd come to hate the bird after four appointments of crying noisily under its gilded stare. The brown leather couch was comforting, although it kept sticking to his black rubber gloves. And the balding therapist was being less than helpful. No matter how much Captain Hammer pleaded, the man refused to give him drugs. I'll take anything. I don't care how funny a name it's got. Prozac, no prob. Just give it to me, Doc. I can't take any more. The fake plants, the aged parchment-colored globe, the red and gold oriental rug. None of them gave the captain comfort from the terrible fear of Dr. Horrible breaking into the room, death ray in hand, ready to bring the pain. I'm done talking, Doc. I want drugs. Good drugs. That's what you quacks do, right? Dish out the drugs? Well, I'm in pain here. Mental and psychological pain, all right? And you're gonna do something about it. Or I'm gonna give you a taste of my hammer. Captain Hammer considered. By which I mean my fists. The therapist cowering before him didn't deserve a witty double entendre. I'm a talk therapist. I don't give out prescriptions. The balding psychiatrist backed toward the door. You can't treat me like this. I'm Captain Motherfucking Hammer. The captain lifted up his ex-therapist by the man's tacky yellow tie until his feet were dangling off the floor, black dress socks visible beneath high-water pants. Come on, good doctor. I don't believe that for a minute. Captain Hammer threw the man down, then vaulted the therapist's heavy mahogany desk and began pulling out and upending drawers. What's this? Aspirin? Those are my meds, the therapist squeaked. Well, they're mine now. Captain Hammer gave the man his most winning grin, then downed the bottle, the brown plastic crunching beneath his manly teeth. The prescription label got stuck in a molar. He pulled off a black glove to pry it free. Then the horrible happened. Captain Hammer, we meet again. The captain froze, his bones turning to ice as the freeze ray took effect. Damn it, freeze ray. Not again, not again, not again. But it'll wear off soon, and then I can punch him in the face. But it was not to be. Dr. Horrible held the door open for Captain Hammer's therapist as the man fled the room. The mini freeze ray attached to his horrible wrist was still pointed at Captain Hammer's chest. In the doctor's other hand, he held an unwieldy mass of rubbery black. The doctor advanced, and the captain tried to back away, and then realized he couldn't. Freeze ray, unfrozen. Damn it. He totally cheats. With a villainous flourish, Dr. Horrible threw the mess of black over the top of Captain Hammer's head, just as the freeze ray powered down with the sound of a reverse airplane landing. The captain pushed against the blackness, but it only constricted more tightly around him, binding him fast, sturdier and longer lasting than the freeze ray's ice. Dr. Horrible, as if sensing his enemy's growing panic, let loose his patented laugh. What is this crap? Captain Hammer twisted and ripped, but the black stuff was too sticky. He couldn't get free. It's my newest invention. I call it the Unstoppable Force. It looks like a duct tape net that you've written the words Unstoppable Force on in chalk.
Whiteout pen, plebeian. Your less than perceptive senses are incapable of understanding the true genius of my plan. Which it is. Genius, I mean. I mean the plan is genius. Oh, never mind. What I'm trying to say is I have you in my clutches at last! Dr. Horrible let out another maniacal laugh.
Captain Hammer had to admit that the man's cackle of triumph had improved in the time that they had been nemeses. He could remember when the doctor's laugh had sounded a bit like someone performing choral exercises. Captain Hammer pushed at the bars of his sticky prison with all of his superhero strength, but the duct tape would not yield. He was immobilized. Whatever pills the therapist had let him eat appeared to have weakened his powers. His super speed slowed to something like normalcy, and his super strength couldn't break through the tape. Or perhaps the duct tape was just that strong. Still, Captain Hammer struggled heroically as Moise appeared in the doorway, helping the good doctor to trundle their catch into the waiting courier van. Dr. Horrible measured out a reasonable length of duct tape, tearing it off from the roll with his teeth. It came free with a rasp. With a white felt tip marker, he wrote Super Strong Gag on it in neat block letters, carefully adding a few jagged angles so his script looked a little more villainous. One major perk of blogging?
No need to watch my typeface. I wonder if there's a course I can take in that villainous handwriting 101. He mused, sticking the edge of the black tape along the side of his laboratory desk for safekeeping. Duct tape was sturdy stuff. He tried to use it only for important purposes, like turning stun rays into death rays, or making wonderflonium balls into wonder grenades. With the judicious application of a white felt tip pen on black duct tape, Dr. Horrible could turn nearly any harmless invention into a machine of super villainous caliber. And managing Captain Hammer, he definitely required the fearsome application of tape. The captain lay awkwardly up against the wall of Dr. Horrible's laboratory, wrapped up in several layers of the doctor's strongest duct tape labeled Super Strong Bonding Gear. But even bound, the captain kept managing to flail around, upsetting several important neon-filled beakers. The doctor attempted to hover over his victim, ominously making his intimidating face. Focus on the eyebrows. A good intimidating look begins in the eyebrows. Could you stop wriggling? What part of I have you in my clutches did I not make clear to you? Dr. Horrible always hated the post-capture part of capturing heroes. They're always so rebellious and inconvenient, especially Hammer. You have squinty nerd eyes, nerd boy. Hammer had a way with words for someone trussed up and defenseless. Dr. Horrible twitched an eye. And you have bad hair. What's the point of having an arch nemesis if you don't know his Achilles heel? The doctor thought gleefully as the captain shut his mouth with an audible snap and opened it again. Dr. Horrible sighed. I'll stop you. Just you wait. Your evil schematics can't stop me. That captain thrust out his duct tape-covered chest, arrogant to the end. I already have stopped you, Dr. Horrible pointed out, and I think you mean evil scheme. Yeah, I said that. No, you didn't. You said, I said I'll stop you, and I'm gonna. And once I'm free, I'm gonna punch your face in. I'm gonna give you a wedgie that goes all the way to China, or maybe somewhere even farther than that. Like Mexico. Dr. Horrible had enough of the man's pomposity. Superheroes always so sure of themselves. The doctor unstuck the short piece of tape from the edge of his desk and affixed it to the hammer's face like a postage stamp, carefully setting the sticky side across the captain's lips. The super strong gag held. Said Captain Hammer. Let's see you monologue now. Dr. Horrible unwound the last bit of tape from the roll, considering, felt tip marker in hand. Then he plied the sticky stuff, still unmarked, into Captain Hammer's hair, making sure to get as much of the adhesive touching the captain's scalp as possible. This won't even require proper labeling, unless I want to call it duct tape torture, which is stating the obvious. And I'm trying to break myself of the whole state my villainous plans in an expositional monologue habit. Keeps getting me punched. But if I were going to monologue, which I'm not, this is the perfect revenge for that one time back in grade school when you rubbed chewing gum in my hair and I had to cut it out with scissors. Dr. Horrible considered letting out a horrible laugh, trademarked, but instead settled for ripping the tape from Captain Hammer's head, clunks of perfectly gelled brown hair coming with it. Captain Hammer screeched through the gag. Duct tape, endlessly useful. Captain Hammer was not a small man, and Dr. Horrible was. It took some wrangling to box the captain in an old packing crate. I think the original stun ray came in that box. He slapped duct tape haphazardly across the wood crate, sealing the captain, who kept thrashing around inside. His work complete, Dr. Horrible pulled out his whiteout pen for the last time and wrote carefully across a line of tape holding the top of the box closed. Please mail to a shiny new Australia. Warning, not fragile.
All of the characters and universes referenced here are the intellectual copyrighted material of Joss Whedon, the Fox Network, Universal Pictures, and others. This podcast and the stories contained therein are purely for entertainment purposes, and no money or Second Life money was made off of this. All stories are by individuals and used with permission from the author. Strangely Literal is created in Chicago and has no connection or affiliation with Joss Whedon or any other fine podcasts out there. For more information about this show, please check out our website at strangelyliteral.com.
Grr.
Gah.
Yay, me.